How's it going out there? Is this on? How you doing, everyone? I hope you're having a great time. Thank you for listening to us. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yes, you guys are listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show!
But not only just Carolyn and Joe. This week, we are enjoying our time and joined by a wonderful person who has not been on the Carolyn and Joe Show in a very long time. Welcome, Danny, to the studio.
Hello.
Hey, Danny. How's it going, sir?
It really has been a long time since I've been on.
I actually don't even know when the last time it was you were on here.
I don't remember either.
But everyone
knows. I remember,
knows.
The last time you came up, I don't think we recorded.
That's
so
true.
It's been maybe over a year since you've been on the actual radio show.
Because we always try to have, like, you know, whatever. Get some airtime with our friends.
Well, ultimately, my goal is whenever I visit is I genuinely like you guys and I want to catch up. It's not just getting some mic time.
And you know, like
I don't do this just for promotion.
But you
exactly.
know,
if I had anything to promote it.
For me in general, I can't really go almost like a week without like documenting some section of my life at this point. It's been almost since like
same way, but mine's usually through text.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I've almost feel like I've moved beyond that.
My blog is the radio.
Yeah, it's the airwaves.
It's audio.
People can hear me because, you know, there's so many times like on the internet or anything in written form that people can like mistranslate.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
Anything.
It's the ultimate argument of voice or tone being carried out in words.
Yeah. And I feel like it's almost like, you know, when you're an actor, not saying that you're not an actor.
Like, well, I'm certainly not an actor. I'd be a like, terrible fucking
like,
actor.
But, you know, if you're, like, a theater actor, like, on stage, you have to, like, go big so people can understand what you're saying. Like, I almost feel like when you're writing, like, on the internet, you have to be, like, super duper, like, literal for people to purely understand what you're trying to say. Like, if you really hate something, you gotta be like, I hate that motherfucking piece of shit. You know, you can't be like, yeah, that's okay.
You can't be soft.
Or you have to really establish an audience to the point where they get it. They
yeah.
get you, they get your style and when you might actually be genuine.
And but I feel, yeah, exactly. They like they're in tune with you. But I feel like with a podcast or with something where they can hear you on the spot live, hopefully they can tell when I'm being sarcastic. Hopefully they can tell.
Or you like, can go into a very special episode and turn off all the background music.
Yeah.
And lower the tone of your voice.
Yeah.
And say,
be like, oh, now it's really an important moment today. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, fade to black.
We're doing some real talk here today.
Have about 30 seconds of dead air to end the show.
Yeah. Or to start the show in the center. But that's why I feel like there's a bit of legitimacy that I feel like this is my majority of my output because, you know, I'm a filmmaker, photographer, Carolyn's a designer and a cartoonist, illustrator. It's like, this feels like we can connect with people that's beyond those pieces, you know?
Well, I fully agree. It's way more simple to establish tone and
we love to tell stories.
Yeah,
that too.
And not only that, but Carolyn gets her own news segment that like she has her own theme music for. So
I'm
here we
ready.
Go.
I'm ready. Yeah. All right. First piece of business. Just so you all know, I am nominated for Best of Washington, D.C. by Washington City Paper. But a nomination is not going to cut it. We need your votes. So go to curls-studio.com and you will see a direct link to vote for Carolyn Bielewski for Best Visual Artist for Best of D.C. It only takes about 15 seconds to vote because, come on, guys, this is easy. Let's do it. Click, click.
It's really just going on that site and pushing a button, isn't it?
Pretty much. You do have to put in your name, but...
Is that how it is, Danny? Have you been there? It's just literally like push a button,
enter a name field.
And then like, should I take the survey or should I not take the survey? You know what I mean? Now they have it.
So click, click, y'all. Again, go to curls-studio.com and vote for me because that would be awesome to get that award. So... There's also more news. This is your last week to go to the cartoons exhibit at University of District of Columbia. That would be UDC for the cool hip people. And on Friday, February 28th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we're having the closing reception. So you can meet all the artists in person. So that's pretty amazing. This is at 4200 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., Gallery 42, Building 42, Room A12. Again, if you can't catch catch it at the closing reception. You can see this gallery from Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Check out all the work by all the top cartoonists of the Washington, D.C. area. It's pretty amazing. So again, you guys basically have like 1 week to see that show. And that's awesome. And for details, again, you can go to curls-studio.com in the blog and check that out. Also, coming up very shortly is the first annual Smudge on March 8th from noon to 6 p.m. at Artisphere, which is in Arlington. It's only 2 blocks away from the Roslyn Metro. Come on, that's pretty good. And free parking if you're going to drive. Also, free admission. Why would you not go to the show? It has all these great artists in the area and also a whole bunch of exhibits and a whole bunch of people selling their own comics at tables. And also a whole bunch of activities for the family and children. It's all ages show. It sounds pretty amazing. I'm going to be there.
I sense you felt rushed because of that song, but this is only
It's
only the halfway point.
I feel like I'm like one of those announcers that like does the legal at the end of the ads. It's like, subject to change.
It's one of those Trent Reznor songs where there's a big buildup in the center.
It's played back at 1.5 speed.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry to rush you all. But yeah, it did drive some like urgency, right? Did you feel urgent to go to all these shows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Smudge. Let's read more about Smudge. I'm going to actually read this from a card. Smudge is a new comics arts expo meant to showcase independent comics and inspire attendees to become storytellers themselves. Smudge will feature exhibitors in the Artisphere Ballroom, presenters in the Black Box Theater, and hands-on workshops in the classroom. Lots of programming for kids and adults. That sounds really awesome. I would bring my kids there if I had kids. But also, in April 18th through 20th is AwesomeCon. This is going to be the big hit of the year, I think, folks. And also, Phil LaMarr is going to be there. How can you miss that? It's pretty amazing. It's at Washington Convention Center. And Joe and I will be there as Curl Studio.
Now, I know I was the one who directed the commercial that's airing all over the place for AwesomeCon.
Airing during Walking Dead?
Walking Dead, The Shield, all the time at Cartoon Network, nighttime and whatever areas. But I just added to the commercial that's going to be uploaded pretty soon is that Sean Austin is now one of the headlining guests.
Who's Sean Austin? He's the Iceman?
It's Rudy.
Wait, I thought it was Aston.
Oh, whatever, Aston. I always forget about that, but yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever that guy's Aston. Name is.
I say Rudy.
It's Mikey.
Mike
from the Goonies.
Yes. He's gonna be there.
Is he
Sorry
the brother
about that.
Of the Iceman? Or
Sorry about that, Sean. I'll talk to you later.
Am I thinking of someone else?
Aston.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know who you're thinking of.
That Iceman guy. Is that the same person who has
no,
a brother?
No, it's a different guy.
Okay, never mind what I've said.
Bobby Drake or Chuck Liddell? Too many goddamn people use the pseudonym Iceman.
Also, just so you all know, Andrew WK is going to be at AwesomeCon at the Awesome Concert. That's going to be pretty amazing because I'm a big fan of Andrew WK and I like to party hard. So go to AwesomeConDC.com to find out all the info on that. Yeah.
There you go. And just so we don't get sued, today's background music is actually the score to the motion picture Her, which I'm also hoping that wins best picture.
I think we can use it because we're talking over it. It's not like anyone can like get the pure
then
audio.
My way of name dropping to be associated with it. Go Arcade Fire.
If anything, you know what? That means that we're like giving them a free commercial.
That's true. That is very true. Go ahead.
I was like, I don't understand why, like, when you have an official movie soundtrack, you have all these tracks, and then you think about, it's like, where was it actually in the movie? And then, I guess the first example that comes into mind was the Clerks soundtrack.
Yeah.
Where they have the Chewbacca song. I was like, what the hell is this? When I actually listened to the Clerks soundtrack, I was like, the Chewbacca song?
Chewbacca!
When I actually rewatched Clerks, it's literally a part where they're having a dialogue. It's so faintly in the background. You hear them talking about Star Wars, and then you just hear in the background, "Wookiee."
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh, there was the song."
The hint of the song.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty interesting because like back in that day, like at least like indie filming the way I see it back then. Well, at least for this one, this is the score, so it was definitely through the whole entire movie. But at least when Clerks came out, you know, when you're an indie filmmaker, you don't really have that much money to get an orchestra.
To get a score.
So they're just like, choose these songs that we like, you know, and see if we can get permission. And somehow that'll become a little bit cheaper. But yeah, that's, I mean, like, there are so many movies out there. It's like soundtrack, like, inspired by, like, cause I was so huge on, like, the Batman Forever soundtrack.
Yeah.
And they had, like, had all these songs, but, like, none of them were in the movie except maybe the credits. You know, that's it.
And that's the worst part, when they, like, montage through four different songs in the end credits.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see their names all of a sudden appearing in the music credits.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there was... Okay, there. Okay, there.
Yeah, there. We just threw it in at the end. You know what I mean? I mean, I was like, I thought, because I swear I was going to hear Kiss from a Rose somewhere in the movie. You know what I mean? Like, somewhere. And I was watching, I was like, there's no way you can put this Kiss from a Rose. I don't even know why Kiss from a Rose was in Batman. How does that make any sense of Kiss? Because,
but
like,
yet it's like the most memorable song.
Yeah. I have no idea what he's even talking about, Seal. I don't think anyone knows what Seal's talking about in any of his songs.
It's funny because, like,
Heidi Klum.
Seal came up in conversation at my work a couple weeks ago, and then I was like, what other songs does Seal do? Because all I know is Kissed by a Rose.
He does the, well, you're never gonna get by from this. You get a little... This is when, like, black people were singing, like, about being empowered. You know what I mean?
Like
about,
Hootie.
Yeah.
Or, like, you gotta be strong. You gotta be tough. Yes. You gotta work harder.
Was she black?
Yeah. Oh,
man. That's been, like, the early Lenny Kravitz music when he was singing about peace and love.
See, I think the only time Seal ever comes up for me is whenever we're spoofing that whole Superbad conversation about people wanting to go by one name.
Yeah.
It's always like, what are you, Seal? Madonna? McLovin? But, like, Seal is always the first one.
I just think it's crazy because, like, you haven't heard, like, okay, maybe he has, like, two hits. And, like, but...
Whoa, Seal?
Two?
Yeah, but, like, what are the other songs of his? I know he has, like, a million other albums, and he's kind of like a household name.
I think he probably has a lot more hits, but the one thing is he's British. Or I guess he's not from America, so, like, I guess there, you know, how, like, there's a lot more bigger artists back there that we don't know of.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't reached over. Yes, he's across.
It's like he thought Batman Forever was gonna be that crossover one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
I'm kind of interested in just, like, a 5-minute Google search of just to hear what his other songs.
Just read his Wikipedia page.
Or not even just his Wikipedia, but just go on YouTube and, like, type in Seal music videos and just, like, look at a few of them for 5 minutes.
Oh, my God. This is, like, when early 90s are overly artistic ones.
But I just want to, like, see or listen to what his other songs are besides Kiss from Rose.
It's always, his videos are always, like, a white background and then him looking really black. And then, like, fan blowing in his, and his shirt blowing in the background.
So, you know what, you know what's going to show up on YouTube? It's it'll be, like, Seal's Greatest Hits. And it's literally going to be the two songs that we just dropped.
Yeah.
Like, in one music video. As, like, a joke.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know if it's still up, but there's this one video. It says, 10 minutes of Nickelback's Greatest Hits. It's 10 minutes of dead air.
Oh,
so it's funny because then you go to the YouTube comments, they're like, fix your fucking video noob. And then there are the people that like give it the thumbs up because they're like, I see what you guys did.
What is the video for? It's just black.
It's just got like one of the Nickelback album covers in the background.
That's on there the
whole
time.
And it's just 10 minutes of dead air. You watch the little circle go across the play part. And there's never any sound.
It's crazy because, like, Nickelback.
10 million views.
Nickelback for me, like, I don't own their albums, but the thing is that I can see why people like them. They're like, what they are is they're like rock for people that like Celine Dion. Because like it's like somebody that's like, oh, I love Celine Dion, but then they're like, I'm tough. I'm gonna listen to Nickelback. I'm gonna be into rock and roll. That's who it's for. It's for like all those soft people that want to feel edgy.
Did you ever see that video that exposed Nickelback? They said, have two stereos going at the same time, one only broadcast from like left speaker, one to broadcast from right speaker, and then they switch the stereos like over and over again. It's the same continuous beat in every track they do.
Every single song?
Yeah, every single song. So basically they have like, it's like a car. You can build several different models of cars off the same platform. It's the same way of Nickelback. They have one platform of beat.
One rhythm then, the whole time?
Exactly. The same rhythm goes through every single song they do.
That's why that shit always just... I can't listen to it because it's... You can't... It is just this steady...
Look at this photograph.
Is that what it sounds
Look
like?
Look at this Instagram.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. That was that Funny or Die or something. Yeah. I saw that.
Then I guess in that sense, Seal is better than Nickelback.
Drinking Mai Tais on a cruise. What a coincidence. It's all so boobs.
I like that they look non-offensive, though, too. But still, like, they're still rock and roll. But yeah, we wear jeans and a shirt.
Jeans and a shirt. No,
but that's what I
mean.
It's basically like Nickelback is like safe rock for people that aren't edgy at all. They're just like, whoa, I'm taking a chance here. I'm listening to Nickelback. You know? And then, like, the rest of their albums...
Yeah, you really are taking a chance when you're listening to Nickelback.
The rest of their albums that they own at home are probably just, like, soft stuff.
It's like Limp Bizkit.
I did it all for the nookie. But you know what else is that I find interesting that I put in that category for whatever reason is Creed. Like, I will say there are a couple Creed songs that when I first heard them, and they were, like, a big band for, like, 2 years. And I remember I never owned their album. But I remember whenever it was on the radio, I would listen to it.
Didn't like the guys from Creed and Nickelback and like some other group do that one that hero song in the Spider-Man movie, the Tobey Maguire one?
Oh,
I want to say that. Yeah, I want to say that was a collaboration between all of them.
They did a collaboration.
Yeah.
It was. That's exactly what it was. It was like, and then a hero.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
I actually did not like that song at all. I did like the Dashboard Confessional song that was on Spider-Man. That
was one. Whatever happened to Dashboard Confessional?
They made their millions and walked away.
Was that just one guy?
No.
One guy that looked like...
Didn't they like become One Direction or something?
We saw Dashboard. Remember?
Yeah, they were at the HF Festival.
HF Festival.
No, there was... There, that one guy from Dashboard kind of looks like, who's that guy that I like that hosts the New Year's show and he had his own late night show? That used to date Tara Reid.
Oh, Carson Daly?
Yeah, didn't he look like Carson Daly? Didn't like that Dashboard guy?
I was like, really trying to stretch
it
out. I know, I was like, who?
The Dashboard Confessional guy? Doesn't he kind of look like Carson Daly?
I don't remember what they look like.
But now I forget how that Dashboard Confessional song goes. We just shorten a dashboard. I like when shorten
like,
a dashboard.
I'm so cool, man.
Dashboard.
We've made it so we can take a name off.
Yeah.
It's like Cesaro. I've made it.
Cesaro.
That's when you know you've made it.
Dashboard. I forgot how that dashboard
then
song went, but
like
it was good.
McLovin.
I thought it was a good song.
What does the name Dashboard Confessional even mean? It's like what you tell someone your problems.
What about the postal
like,
service?
Like over the front seat.
Over the front seat,
yeah, over the dashboard. Or?
I guess that's
what it means.
You're like driving with a priest and having a confession.
Maybe it was ahead of his time, and he was talking about the internet.
Maybe.
I mean, who the hell really knows
was the internet back then?
Who the hell really knows what some of these names? What the hell does Nickelback even mean?
It's
the back of a nickel.
It's like a razor back, but it's a nickel.
Yeah, but what's the back? It's heads or tails. Why don't they just call them like, nickel tails or something?
There's a lot of bullshit names.
Exactly.
Man. There's so many bullshit.
But that's
names.
What I mean. It's like that
a
tough.
Simple,
it's like that
simple
tough
plan.
Name. So then people can be like, "Oh, Nickelback. Yeah, it sounds rugged."
Yeah, it's like Monster.com. How did Monster associate to become like the world's leading job search site, or Amazon for that matter,
or Seal?
You know what? Amazon makes sense because they have so much shit. It's like wading through the Amazon.
Yeah.
You get anything you need in the Amazon, apparently.
That's what it gets tough now. I mean, you really have to have those, like, just weird-ass names.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like they have to get weird.
What the hell is a Sum 41? What's Sum 41? Simple Plan. What are all the... There's
well,
so
you know,
many.
The funny thing is, I remember... what was it? What the fuck's that name? 311. 311. Yeah, 311.
There's,
no,
like, all those number ones?
Well, no,
was
no.
Like a pop reference or something?
I read one thing that said...
Like
the reason it's called 311 is because... 11 K is the 11th letter of the alphabet, and three of them together are KKK.
Yeah, that
Isn't
makes
that really?
Sense. And then they're like, whoa.
Why do they call it 311? Why aren't they 311 or 311?
Because I bet they're like, well, we like 711, but we can't do 7. Who? What's another favorite number? Not 411.
I don't know if I believe that the KKK.
I think it's hilarious that someone has associated 311 with the KKK.
Speaking of the KKK thing, there's this podcast I listen to. I'll just give them a plug called Snap Judgment. And basically it's called Storytelling with a Beat. And one of the stories is this kid at college, like it was like rush time, and him and his friends thought that all the Greek stuff was so stupid. They were like, "This is so dumb."
Well, it is.
Yeah. So basically, they
in my impression.
So basically, they were just I don't know stupid one night and bored and dumb, and they like I found a cereal box that was like I'm making this up. It was some like Barry-O's or something like that. And they're like, let's worship Barry-O's.
What's Barry-O's?
I don't know. Some, you know, Fruity-O's or Fruit Loops or something. And like...
Barry-O's. So I'm going to use that. Barry-O's.
Like, they basically like...
It's the kind of shit you'd see in like the top of the refrigerator in an episode of Roseanne.
They dress. Yeah. They basically Shasta. Dressed up as like in the... What are those Greek... things, the turbans,
togas,
thank you. They basically toga themselves out, right? And so they go out during rush week at the middle of the night and in their toga, and then they start chanting like Barry-O's, Barry-O's, or some type of chant like for the Cheerios, you know, or some type of cereal. And then the following morning, like the school got all these complaints and people were really upset because people mistaken them for the KKK. It's really messed up. They almost got, like, totally expelled. And they were like, this is a joke. They were like, we're just out here, like, playing around, you know? Like, they were
playing
like,
around as white supremacists.
Yeah. The messed up thing is, like, one of the main person that was telling this story, they just described him as a brown shade. They're like, oh, because he's brown or whatever. But then the other two kids, I think, were from the Asian, like, organization or something. Like, they weren't even, like, but they weren't even, like, white supremacist. That's what I'm getting at.
That really
like,
makes me want to watch Django for some reason.
But basically, they were just like kids hanging out, like making fun of the system, right? And so that's what they get in exchange for it. But apparently, they had to apologize like a million times. And then even like, it actually caused the black kids in the school to be like super scared. Like, it's pretty intense. Like, he even said like people were crying and stuff. They thought, and also what added fuel to the fire was like, I guess 20 minutes away in the location area is there actually was some KKK activity going on. And so like I guess that added fuel to the fire, and like people actually were taking their kids out of school. So the university was losing money from it.
Yeah,
it
see, like, that's what happens, man.
It was a pretty impressive story.
Pretty
because
great. It's a pretty great joke though, if you think about it.
But yeah, it's
basically impacted
just,
everybody.
It's just making fun of the Greek society and like throwing in like we worship Cheerios or whatever, you know. Into
but they,
the mix.
They what, but they didn't have hoods on or anything, right?
I don't
or
think they, so.
Because I was
people,
like, that's
like,
a little
I
difficult.
Guess, but I guess since it was nighttime, a lot of people like misinterpreted what they said. But they also thought that they said something like "kill ends, kill ends."
Maybe those douchebags should not have been carrying that burning cross either. Then,
but like they were chanting whatever Barry-O's or something. But somebody thought that they were chanting something against the N-word.
Against the N-word?
But maybe it rhymed with it. I can't remember what the exact phrases were.
Where was this again?
I don't know. I'd have to re-listen to that.
311's a bunch of douchebags.
But it's like...
It was 311.
But you have like these like intentions, you know? Like their intention was totally to not be the KKK at all. And then like, what happened.
What was their intention?
Their intention was just to have a fun night and like go out.
That's not an intention.
Yes, it was.
No.
They were, like,
so they were like a frat.
That's a circumstance.
They were like a frat that wasn't
They wanted
a frat.
To make fun of a frat yeah. by acting like frats.
Yes.
Well, that's what you get. That doesn't
yeah,
work.
No, yeah. To get in legal trouble sounds about right for being a frat.
But that's
then.
Also like, oh, so we're going to get your joke because you're doing a douchey joke that's too meta for us. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, we're making fun of ourselves. It's like, okay, Shia, you know, that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, it is kind of what it is, but I don't know. It was a good story.
I feel like Shia LaBeouf really does sort of represent those fraternity douchebags. For some reason, I feel like that's what he is.
I know, like Joe and I have talked about Shia LaBeouf in our personal life and like what his his art display.
I would like to clarify that I do not talk about Shia LaBeouf in my personal life at all.
We have talked about it.
No. You have talked.
No.
Well, anyway,
you have talked about it.
Part of me doesn't even
want
to. I don't even want to. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to give him attention.
Well, we are. We need content. It's
but
okay.
We can talk about other
things. It's okay.
Things.
I'd rather fill up airtime here than fill up within my normal life of Shia.
That's
Shia
true.
LaBeouf.
That's true.
And that's really what it all comes down to.
So Danny, have you been following it?
No.
Have you been following it?
No. All I know is about Paper Bag, and then I was like, oh, it's that guy.
Well, Carolyn knows everything about it.
No, I don't know everything. But basically, it started out with, like, he has this film that I guess went to Cannes Film Festival and, like, a whole bunch of other film festivals. I don't even know the name of it. But what it is like, a word-by-word ripoff of a Daniel Clowes story, like a comic book. And then a whole bunch of people were, like, really upset about it, that he just straight up ripped off all the dialogue and all the shots.
So here's the
and
thing.
He didn't credit as a writer or anything.
So there's several levels for me to pick up on this story, because you know Daniel Clowes is actually a like I would say like top level indie.
He was independent
a main
creator, guest
Blankets
at SPX
and all
last year.
You know, yeah, and all that.
No,
stuff.
He didn't do Blankets.
Not Blankets.
That was Craig Thompson.
The Ghost World guy, right?
Ghost World.
Yeah, Ghost World and what's the other one?
Art School
Confidential. So he wrote those what those movies and those books are based on. So Shia basically made his own film, and it got picked up on all these in all these festivals and stuff like that, and was assuming the fact that he created it and did all the stuff, all the writing and creative behind that. But in actuality, he word for word and frame by frame stole that story, the Daniel Clowes story.
I knew there was plagiarism involved. I just didn't know who.
But the thing is, you know, that's I'm fine with that if you have credit and if you have stuff, but he didn't credit anyone.
Or he didn't even acknowledge.
He didn't acknowledge that.
There was like no writer credit.
So there's several layers to this part that actually annoys me. One, the simple fact that, Shia can just make a movie and it gets into festivals. And that's understandable because, you know, he's a big shot there. So it's like, okay, whatever, star power, that goes in. Two, no one even cared to, like, do any background. I'm like, hey, this seems like this seems like it's plagiarized. No one's like, oh, yeah, this seems like a comic book. But to me, it showed, like, the lack of respect still for the comic book medium that they weren't, like, they didn't have background check on, like, this seems like this. And then it still doesn't even seem like they cared. It's still just more about, like, Shia ripping off someone. Like, Daniel's probably not getting any promotion off of that, really, besides being like, oh, this is what Shia ripped off of. So that part was sort of like, oh, people are still shitting on comics. That's how it looked like to me. And then what happened then, Carolyn?
So then he apologized on Twitter, but people were still giving him, like, a lot of heat.
Because it was a massive amount of heat.
Well, and there was, like,
it's
also
Twitter. I mean,
yeah.
No one's you can apologize. No one's going to ever let you get a last word like that.
Yeah, and also, like, when this story first broke, since a lot of my friends online are, like, comics people, it was, like, all over my wall and all over my feed. It was, like, I couldn't look at anything else. It was almost, like, as if a major event happened, like a presidential election or some type of Super Bowl or, you know, some type of major thing where everyone's talking about something. That's what my feed looked like that day. So there's, like, no way around not checking out what happened.
That's depressing to see his face plaster everything.
But not only that, but
he's like a slightly more masculine Screech.
But like there's another layer. There's another layer of like just insincerity towards his apology. Because not only that, but not only did he, quote unquote, you know, he was, if he didn't get caught, he wasn't going to apologize or do anything. But since he was caught, he had, of course, the right thing to do is to apologize. But his apology was also plagiarism. He also ripped that off of someone else's apology.
Yeah.
So essentially, from a wrestling standpoint, it's, of course, if you're getting boos, you just milk. Shia turned heel.
Yeah.
Literally, Shia turned heel, and that became his thing.
And then
to start plagiarizing everything as a commentary.
He also
I mean?
Paid for skywriting. I don't remember how much it was, but it was some large amount to have a written words in clouds done by an airplane that says I am sorry Daniel Clowes over LA, and so many people like it
and
was almost like an art
he lives
piece.
In like Boston or something
was, I don't know it was almost like some art piece that like people who didn't even know what it was were taking photos of it and putting it up online and stuff, and so I guess that gained more momentum into like basically making Shia more of the stardom, for lack of a better word, or attention grabber on this. But then at least like on one end, it's like, well, maybe people Google Daniel Clowes' name and maybe they'll know who he is, but that doesn't mean like he's gonna gain anything like monetarily or
no.
any, you know, just, I don't know what that's all about. But so then also people were commenting about Shia, and then there was like this small Twitter battle with him and Lena Dunham. And like, basically she wrote something about like how plagiarism is stupid, but she was more articulate about it. And then he like
you should be articulate about it too.
I know, I totally should. I forget exactly. I don't want to like quote her because I don't have it in front of me, but she did write something like that was anti-plagiarism. And then like I guess Shia went back in her Twitter feed like over a year ago and found something that she apologized for, and like he tweeted it himself. So basically he plagiarized her apology for something that wasn't even like as big of a deal. And then so she was like, oh, hey, I recognize that tweet because I wrote it, you know, like, and so there was like this back and forth with them too. And like, I guess other people. And I think like one comics journalism person like went onto his like about page on his website and found out that his about page was also plagiarized from someone else. And like, he basically just plagiarized almost everything. And it's like, he's owning this plagiarism thing. But from like an art perspective, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, I can be inspired by things, but I never want to totally rip someone off 100%. Like, that's just wrong.
Because we all know Andy Warhol, like, illustrated everything free. We all know he didn't take any of those images from someone else.
I'm trying to think of whose career he's plagiarizing right now.
I mean,
he looks like Screech.
Well, also another thing is what he's been, I think it's over now, but for like, I guess a week, he had a gallery show out in LA where he had a bag over his head.
And wasn't he like sitting at a table and just staring at people?
Yeah, and it said, I'm not sorry anymore. But I guess some people asked if they could take the bag off, and anybody from anywhere could come to LA. Like, you could fly out there or whatever and meet Shia for free and like be at the gallery. And it was called like hashtag I am sorry or something. That was the name of it, and so stupid and trendy. But basically, like, at first I saw this article where like only 5 people were there, and they're all like journalists that were paid to be there. And apparently he was like crying, you could see like tears through the bag or something. And but people were like talking smack about him. Like, some people like brought in their video camera and were like, what are you doing, man? Like, he just like would no sell and not say anything for like 5 minutes, and like then like this one account of one girl was like, I tried to make him feel better, and like I hold his hand and like I wiped his tears away and stuff. And I'm like, that's so creepy to like
that I told him Even Stevens sucked.
But I'm like, can you imagine going up to him and just like, he won't really say anything and he'll just cry and you wipe his tears? Like, it's kind of like a Jesus thing, you know, like when Jesus was dying and like Mary Magdalene was like wiping his feet and
so
shit.
He's trying to plagiarize Jesus now.
Like, I don't know, that's how I interpret it. It's weird. So then also on top of it, I don't know the name of this artist, unfortunately, but I did tweet about it. There is an artist that at MoMA like 2 years ago, she did this exhibit called like Visit the Artist or something, or no, it's called, if you Google it, it's called The Artist is Present. So I don't remember the name of the artist, but she's like a
I remember that.
She's,
this is when it's her like her long, like long lost like ex-husband visited her. You talking about that one?
I don't know about that, but
I remember that because it was like an artist was sitting at a table, and yeah, you can spend like 20 seconds with her or something like that, yeah, or a minute with her, and like her long lost love that she hasn't seen for like 20 years like shows up.
What happened?
And they have like, and they just sat there and they had like a quiet like 20 seconds.
But she didn't talk, right?
No, they both didn't talk. But they smiled at each other and they, you know, spoke without words. I'm not like with sign language, but just like, you know,
the
like,
eye contact,
like aura, like, you know. Yeah. And then it was done. And well, not that was actually to make to have that happen. That's what makes the whole entire moment worth it. Was like that moment.
Well, also, she's a performance artist and she's been doing this for years. You know, not just that exhibit, but like she's been performing art for years, and she takes it like very seriously. Like, that is her career, and she's known for that. But where, and then Shia does something similar. Hashtag I'm sorry, and he's like ripping her off too. You know, sitting there and like having people visit him, and also that seems like such a God complex, just to be like, oh, people are gonna come see me, and so I'm sorry.
He needs to realize it's not cool when he's deliberately trying to do it now.
And also, like, let's see, people were talking about his comic book that he produced and made himself was actually also another plagiarized piece. So it's pretty much the same thing that I'm almost thinking about a lot of actors. A lot of them can't make their own stuff. They're performers. So they got to be handed something to create.
It's that adage that every story in the world has already been told.
Yeah.
Well, but there's that, but then there's like, you can do your own creative spin on it. Well, it's like, he's not.
Not to downfall actors, but maybe that's what actors do. You know, they perform stuff that's handed to them, and he has to find something to perform.
I guess I can see that, but at the same time, it's like, he should acknowledge other people's efforts and not just like rip off somebody's script. That's like, that's uncalled for.
That's disrespectful.
It's very disrespectful. And also, like,
without permission. Yeah.
As an artist, I feel like, honestly, I don't know what to think about it, because it's like, if you're really that sorry, then why are you making the focus on you and being like, oh, come visit me, and I'm sorry.
Because he's not sorry.
That's just ridiculous. I don't think it's right. Like, for any. I think it's actually an insult to anyone that creates art.
Because I think it's coming from that douchebag fraternity perspective. You know what I mean? Oh, I think, you know, like you were just saying, oh, I think this is going to be funny. Okay. It's not. It actually turned out to be pretty stupid.
And then I read
it made you guys look stupid.
Who's the guy that's married to Rebecca Romijn right now?
I was about to say Stamos, but.
No.
Jerry O'Connell?
Jerry O'Connell. I didn't follow up on this news, but apparently Funny or Die, like, sponsored Jerry O'Connell to have his own art exhibit right next to Shia LaBeouf, and it was like something like hashtag I am so sorry or something. It was like the same thing, but people could visit Jerry O'Connell. But it's like, like, I'm like, what is this crap? Like, I'm sorry, but like, but part of me begs the question of like, if I was in LA and I had nothing better to do, would I visit Shia?
No, I would make my own work.
Man, it sounds like LA has nothing to do.
Well, that's what I hear. I'm not really an LA person. I'm not going to pretend to be a fan of LA, but it does seem like it has like its own little circles inside of circles.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just sort of just like, you know, this group of people, I was having a conversation with a friend that lives in LA, and it's like, oh yeah, it's just like the same circle. They all just go out with the same people in the same circle. So it's like just trading friends and spouses. It doesn't really mean anything. It's like you're all going out.
I just had this conversation earlier this week. I went to this big nerdy thing and back in Atlanta, and someone said it's like everyone recognizes everyone, but they don't actually know each other.
Yeah,
it's like this circle is very incestuous, and I was like, that's kind of gross, but kind of accurate too.
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Well, it's crazy because one of the exhibit, I guess, interviewers I listened to, you know, he brought a camera along and he was interviewing people in the line. And he was like, so what do you normally do? And then a couple people were like, oh, I left work to visit Shia. And then like a couple people were like, I have nothing better to do. But it's interesting because this one lady struck me. They're like, asked her like, what would you normally be doing instead of being in this line for 2 hours? And she was like, she's like, I'd probably be at home taking care of my kids. And I'm like, really? Because like, do you have... Like, that just kind of frustrated me, because it's like, here, he probably still knows that he has power over people, and makes him feel good that...
Well, it's also people are a bunch of suckers, too, you know? They got nothing better in their lives. He's proof of that. He's proof of what, you know, you are what your entertainment is. And if this is what's really entertaining people, then it's sort of a sad state of affair that's happening with people in that area.
It's really sad, because, like, then there's this whole other angle, which I haven't investigated enough about, but one of my coworkers was telling me about... How, like, okay, me personally, my relationship with Shia LaBeouf is, like, I did enjoy him as Indy's son in the Temple of the Crystal Skulls or whatever that one was.
I just like the no, 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 no,
super fan, but I did think that the Indiana Jones movie was fun. But anyway, what one of my coworkers was telling me about was apparently he talked smack about Spielberg, and then word got around, like, in L.A., you know, that's like a no-no. That's like, you don't talk bad about Spielberg. That's like worse than committing a crime, you know? So, like, I don't know what he said or what exactly happened, but that was already a flaw before all of this plagiarism stuff happened.
I mean, it really goes to show that that's sort of the type of world that we live in. It's like you have to do sort of stunts to be relevant, I guess. I mean, that's why Miley Cyrus all of a sudden is like a massive hero to all these girls.
But then it annoys me because it's like we did do a show about Miley like maybe in December or a few months ago. And it's like, why are we spending our time talking about these people that, like, in reality are probably going to be irrelevant in 10 years and they don't really matter in our everyday lives? I mean,
because let's be honest, like, pretty much who's going to base this on what is relevant anyway? You know, but because if you're saying that, then, like, we're not relevant at all because we're not making headlines. Does that make us less relevant? It's
no,
actually the only thing that's
real.
The only thing that's relevant is, again, what is the circle that we exist on? You know what I mean? It's like,
but
I'm not seeing a lot of bands right now. I'm not listening to a lot of things right now. I don't read every single comic book. It doesn't make those things less relevant, but it's just not relevant to me.
That's true, but I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you know, I go to the grocery store and you can see all, like, the headlines about, like, Miley's shocking, whatever. And
but
like,
you don't have to
Bill
see
Clinton
that.
Sleeps with Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I don't know. I just saw that at the grocery store.
Let's hope so.
That'd be awesome if it were.
I mean, Danny, what exactly would you say in this world right now is relevant?
Kind of the Olympics.
The Olympics is pretty relevant. But then
we
again,
talked about that last week.
National security is always up in the air.
WWE Network is relevant to me right now.
Yeah,
Cesaro is relevant.
It does matter, like, person to person, what is relevant. So, like, no one can really be the judge of that.
I see
a flaw in the comment that I said like a minute ago. But what I'm getting at is, like, when it comes down to it, I really don't think a lot of people in the world care about, like, the daily being of, like, Shia LaBeouf or Miley Cyrus.
I don't.
Well, at the end of the day,
it's something to talk about. That's all it is.
Well, also, at the end of the day, it's like a lot of people can't control themselves towards what they're intaking, what media they're intaking.
But that's what I'm getting at. It's like, on a daily basis, I would not really care to look up Shia LaBeouf, but yet I know all his stunts. And, like, they are stunts. I don't think they're genuine. It's all, like, a gimmick at this point. And it doesn't make me take him seriously. Like, even if he puts out, like, a real project in the future that he actually wrote, it's going to make me think that he didn't.
Yeah, but let's be honest. At the same time, it's like, well, I wasn't really a fan to start with anyway.
That's true.
So, like, I'm only going to dedicate so much of my personal time, you know, that's not airwave content time.
It also just annoys me that, like, somebody who already has, like, a public persona, I guess, can take someone else's material and just, like, act like he did it.
Well, yeah,
like,
that's,
I just don't...
To me, I don't really blame Shia. I sort of blame all the other people that were just yes men to Shia, or yes women, to be like, cool, have this film at my festival. You know what I mean?
Well, it's interesting, because, like, when I first started knowing that he was into comics was maybe, like, I can't remember if it was last summer or the summer before. I remember hearing a headline that says, like, Shia LaBeouf is now, like, an indie artist, and he's going to be in Artist Alley at one of the Wizard World conventions. I think it was Chicago, but I'm not sure. He actually signed up for an Artist Alley table, which is something that Joe and I have been doing for, like, the past 5 years or so. And Shia basically was hanging out in Artist Alley, and I was like, wow, he actually has his own comic book, and he's doing it. And he's doing it, like, the small press way. He's not, like... The way that they marketed it wasn't like, Shia LaBeouf, special guest. They actually marketed... They didn't even market it.
It's totally ghostwritten.
Yeah.
But it's crazy, though, because it's like... I don't know. I saw, like, a little bit of the artwork for it and stuff. And, like, it...
Looks a lot like Jim Lee.
Didn't look like Jim Lee at all.
It's like, wow, how the hell did he pull that
off? Man, that's pretty awesome.
I mean, maybe it's not my cup of tea, you know? But at least, like, back then, I was like, oh, cool, he's doing it. And that was, like, before all the plagiarism stuff. But I just, like, I don't know, man. I just don't know how he thought he could pull that off. Like, but he thinks he's, like, above God or something.
It's the thing is, though, there's so many supposed, like, artists. I don't really like the word artist at all either. I think there's a lot of words I believe that are, like, excuses. Like, words that are used as just an excuse to do whatever the fuck they think this looks cool.
I think when titles are used too much, it takes meaning away from them.
Like, whenever I hear, like, a musician... say like pronounce himself like, because, you know, as an artist, you know, have you ever seen those promo videos too, when they're like talking about like their album coming out, and they're like, you know, as an artist, I really like, this is my next step as this next generation, or I was like, 'cause this sounds like some fluff bullshit.
It's like what I do for a living. It's like when people start using the term creative, it's like, I'm a creative.
Oh my God.
I fucking hate that term.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that doesn't really apply to me.
Those are words that I feel like someone should call someone else. You know, Prince had it right when people were just like, tell me about you, Prince. Like, who do you think you are? Like, not like that, but like, describe what Prince is. And Prince, like,
a symbol.
He said a symbol, but also he was like, in his Prince voice, like, I can't answer that. You have to answer my friend over there. He'll tell you. So he didn't want to even, like, claim, even though that's totally pompous and whatever. But
he
like
was ahead of his time.
But maybe he was right. It's like, you can't, don't let the artist describe himself, really.
I have a problem with, like, art now, because, like, even for myself, I don't know how to describe what I am.
Don't.
Because it's like, there's a designer, there's an illustrator, and I remember having the same exact problem, like, right when I was graduating college. And I even told, like, Sterling Hundley, he's like, this awesome illustrator out there. I had the same kind of conversation with him. And I was like, what do I call myself? Because I'm kind of multiple things. Like, I kind of even at that time I dabbled in animation. And I was like, what is all this? Like, what's one word to, like, describe all this? And he was like, call yourself an artist. what he told me.
Or call yourself your own name.
Just say you do Carolyn. Shit.
Yeah.
I do shit.
But it's like, you know, but
I don't like use the word shit though, because that's yeah.
Cursing is cool.
Because cursing's cool now.
Yeah.
No, it's crass, but I think it's succinct.
The best
it's very succinct to how I would describe myself. Or it's like when someone asks me, "What do you do?" I just want to be like, I do shit.
Well, I have a hard time with like LinkedIn. Like for a while, like I had up there like, designer / art director / cartoonist, and then like I simplified it to just artist, and then even just now earlier today, probably like 3 hours ago,
you get more hits.
I changed it to visual communicator, like as your main title, because I'm like, well, I don't even know what I am.
I mean, but at the end of the day, what that?
Oh yeah, and then I changed it to communication arts and design.
Well, it's also because it's LinkedIn, because LinkedIn is probably the worst thing to happen to the job market in the world.
And also,
it's like, oh, that guy's ugly. I'm not hiring that motherfucker.
But also, really, in a sense,
why do they make you do a profile picture then? Why else is why else does that exist then?
Because we live in a fucking superficial
exactly.
world.
Exactly,
it's crazy too. Because like, as my LinkedIn,
but let's not lie to each other. We use that as a judgment all the time.
No, totally.
We're like, fuck that guy's haircut. He's not hired.
but it's crazy in the working too world. Because I know a couple people like just breezing through there. Like, I know for a fact, this is going to sound so bad, but it's true. I know a couple people.
It's bad because it is true.
Because that I'm, like, associated with, right?
It's fucking Legally Blonde.
Who, like, have embellished their resumes. Because, like, I know for a fact, like, oh, they're a member of this club? Oh, but you didn't go to any of the meetings. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And then, whereas, like, I was a way
and
more
had
active.
Perfect attendance at the meetings.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I went to, like, all of the meetings in general. And then, like, there's this other person that puts the same type of description on their profile, but yet they might have only been to one or even zero meetings.
But they have a killer headshot.
And it's
that's because of me.
But like, what do you think of that though? Because if I was like a recruiter or whatever, I would be like, "Whoa, this person was involved with this organization." But then, like in reality, they like might have not done anything.
Well, in a perfect world, that's why interviews exist. But the problem is, there are people that don't know how to conduct proper interviews to weed out those who might be lying or embellishing.
Yeah.
Those personal. Anything personal and face to face is really crucial, specifically in today's world. Though,
it really
too.
Is.
It's crazy though to me though, because there's like a couple people that like, you know, I'm remotely connected to, that I'm like, whoa, I don't remember you doing all of that you said that you're doing. Maybe I'm missing something, but in my head I'm like,
those are the people that think
like
if I could
that.
Just get my foot in the door and get an interview, I'll nail it.
That's the truth though.
It really works a lot. Yes.
But it's crazy though, because again, this is like, I guess relates to Shia, because then that's like a small version of plagiarism to be like, I did this and this, but I wasn't
well,
really
Well, if I
part
saw Shia's LinkedIn, I'd be like, I don't want this screech motherfucker working for me, so fuck him.
Yeah, exactly. But also like about the headshots is like, I did have a professional headshot taken by Joe, and I had a makeup artist and that did my hair, because of course I want to look good for my LinkedIn profile.
That's
and
what I do.
And I also want to be like serious about it, because like I'm not gonna have some jokey picture of me on there, you know. And this
iPhone
selfie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna have an iPhone selfie or some image that I took from the computer camera. You know, like I'm just. That's
the computer camera photo.
Like seriously, a lot of people
yeah,
have
no.
that a webcam photo or a selfie. And I'm sorry, but like I'm a professional person and I'm actually like really serious about my work. So like I have this nice headshot of me, and two people have commented in the past year or so. It's not like a constant comment, but two people have said that doesn't look like you. And I'm also not wearing my glasses in it, because I usually wear my glasses pretty much every day. So
though
I'm like,
though we did have a set of you wearing glasses, I think
we did.
But I think there were different frames at that time.
Oh. Well, anyway, but I guess what I'm getting at is, like, first of all, it's, like, I don't know why you would even say that to someone, like, really be like, that doesn't even look like you. And then I'm like, well, I also, like, I'm wearing makeup and I have my hair done. You know
Man,
what I mean?
I'm totally going to sign up for a LinkedIn account and use, like, a black guy's head. Like, Tyrese Gibson. That'll be my headshot.
And then when they come into the interview, they're like, Danny Hall?
Wait a second.
You're Asian.
What?
I have not kept track, but I probably shot at least 800 headshots for people on LinkedIn. Well, for like that has been used on LinkedIn, and they all They all look the freaking same.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to disregard what you contribute, but LinkedIn, the reason people have profile pictures, when I think it's terrible, is so that people could weed people based on physical appearance.
And you know what might be crazy, too, is, like, if you do have, like, a picture of yourself as Tyrese or whatever, like, the messed up thing
totally doing it.
Is, like, you probably will get a job because,
they'll be like, people are looking... action kicks in. We need a black guy.
Yeah, like, exactly.
This guy's qualified and he looks black. Let's
exactly,
get him in the office.
Exactly, because, like, seriously, a lot of people are just hiring non-white people, too. And so it's like, well, you can work with the Asian thing. But I'm just saying that, like...
All right, sorry to interrupt you. I actually told the guy when I was applying for a job because they said we are looking for people who we want to work with, don't give us your, and they literally said in the job description, don't give us your canned corn shit. And then basically I got past the first round because I wrote him an awesome story, and then I said I'm a straight male Asian living in Atlanta, therefore I kind of cover all the bases of what you're probably missing. And the guy laughed.
Because it's honest. It's
because
true.
It was honest, and it made him laugh. Because I was like, I cover several different bases that apparently don't apply commonly in Atlanta. But then the guy ended up resigning, and then the position was nixed, and I was kind of shit out of luck.
Yeah, it's interesting how in business, like, one person can leave the company, and then a new person can take over, and then want to, like, redesign everything.
The person's replacement decided that they didn't need the open position anyways.
Yeah,
and I was like, fuck. Because that would have been a fucking awesome job.
Yeah. It's really interesting how one person makes a shift in the world.
Yep.
And how it affects other things. It's really interesting. It's one of those parallel universe choices.
I honestly have not ever found any function for me in LinkedIn. It's like it just hasn't just... I don't even know why I updated.
Yeah, like I said,
I think
it's terrible. I get why it exists.
I think
it's terrible.
It's probably just my profession. We don't really use LinkedIn.
Yeah, I don't think your profession is for that. But I will say, when I am looking for a job, when I have looked for a job in the past, people check that, and like they check that. And it's almost like if you're not on there, people are like, why aren't you on there? You know, like that type of vibe.
Yeah, that's what really sucks too.
And so it's like you have to be on there to be a serious current day job seeker.
I'm pantomiming jerking off because that's how I feel about that.
I really feel like it's almost...
Perception.
Because people like I've never not been on there. So like, I don't know if people actually are like, why are you not on LinkedIn? You know, but it's like you have to, I guess, placate to society. But then the other side of it is like... There's a whole bunch of people on there who, I don't know, I feel like they fake it, and I don't like that.
But that's the way the world is, man. You gotta fake it till you make it.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, when there's been a lot of situations where, like, maybe on set, I didn't know what the hell that we're supposed to be doing, and I was just like, I guess I'll just keep pretending, and then we'll figure it out. And then we figured it out.
I've never actually, it's interesting, I've never actually, I guess, got a job offer directly from LinkedIn, but I know, like, employers look at it. But it's interesting because last week I got an email from this guy who's looking for a designer, and he basically pretty much offered me the position on email. It was really strange, though. Like, I think he wrote it with good intention and stuff, but then he was like, what I find weird is he was like, you will be able to do your curl studio work, like, outside of work. He's like, this isn't an agency.
I'll give you the permission to do your external activities outside of work.
Yes.
Oh, how thoughtful.
Yeah. He was like, this isn't an agency that makes you work several hours all the time. That's pretty much, like, what he wrote.
But it's almost just like, wait, so you guys don't get work?
It's like fucking Bane. You have my permission to do your external activities outside of work.
But it was, like, on one hand, it was, like, nice, but then it was strange, because it's like, why would you tell me that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because it's kind of a given thing.
But yeah, and he was basically, like... And then he was like, this isn't an agency where we put, like, our coworkers up against each other. He's like, this is, like, to get certain jobs.
But it's not really an agency, because all agencies put their coworkers up against each other.
He said that they, like, aren't, like, a typical agency and stuff. But they basically, like, we didn't get into, like, money talk or anything, but basically was like, if you want the job, you can have it type thing.
You pull that Jonah Hill shit, you say, you fax me the paperwork right now so I can sign it before you take the offer back.
But it's so strange, because he found me on, like, I guess he found me first on LinkedIn, and then he said he checked out my website and my Behance site and, like, all the other sites that I have, like, my portfolio stuff on. He, like, saw everything. And then they want to hire me. And I wasn't even looking for a job. I haven't even looked for a job in over 6 months. Like, I haven't, like, sent out any resumes or anything.
It's but nice then, to be wanted.
I guess it's good to, like, just find somebody on LinkedIn, but it's kind of creepy.
It is. Any of that stuff, really. Internet, it's just all about stalking.
Didn't you say you ran into somebody last week who you didn't know who knew all your photos that was online and had a pot belly or something?
Yeah, like, so, you know, real quick, I guess we'll end the show. We're close to end the show. I'll do this real fast before the end of the show. But basically, so I was doing a pre-pro meeting with I guess we have to call her Karen M now since she's going to change her name again. But we're pre-proing, went to Potbelly's, had lunch. But before I sat down to eat lunch, a guy came up to me and he's like, "Hey, Joe, how's it going, man?" And then, like, you know, totally talking with the tone like we've met before like a million times or we went to high school together. And then me being the guy that I am, I'm like, I don't want to be that dude that's just like, maybe I do, but I didn't want to play off like I didn't know who the fuck he was. But, like, when I first saw him, I didn't know who the hell he was. He was a young guy with a beard. You know, he might listen to this podcast. I'm not sure. If you are, tag me and remind me who you are. But, like, it's at the very end of the show. But, like, so, like, yeah. So he goes on the whole conversation. Like, yeah, man, really digging the work that you're doing. Like, all this stuff. Like, oh, so you, and I was like, so, y'all, you lucky? I never know if anyone sees any of my stuff. So it was, like, a conversation with a long-lost friend that seemed really plausible. And I guess the performance was great. But, like, when I went to sit down, and Karen was like, "Oh, everyone knows you over here." And I was like, "I'm not going to lie, Karen. I have no idea who that was, man."
Wasn't there a guy who did that where a guy looked at everyone's Twitters and looked at the geotagging that was done on all the Twitters and then found all these people and started talking to them like he knew them?
What?
And was bringing up, I was like, "How's your dog, so-and-so?" And
then
the people were freaked the fuck out.
Also, in the same sense of plagiarizing and faking, Simon Kim, the head of the House Studio Cinema, they do a lot of work for Microsoft, right? And he found there was this guy that was pretending to be like Kanye West, like his not Kanye West, but his right hand, like a one of his entourage,
like the guy who holds his umbrella,
and was parading around like he was part of his entourage and saying he's coming to the Microsoft Center. So when the Microsoft people heard he was part of Kanye, they gave him like the red carpet and gave him all this free shit. You know what I mean? And then later on they found like Simon and them found out like he's not even like related or anything with Kanye, and he's actually been doing this with all these other companies and stuff like that. But just the simple fact of name dropping Kanye and doing all that stuff to that certain level and to have someone else call for him saying like who was coming in, that everyone just believed this massive lie, and he got all this free Xbox games and
Jamie Foxx with one X.
Yeah. So so it really is fake it till you make it, man. I mean, it's a plagiarizing world. If people are stupid, they'll believe it. You know what I mean? And I guess that's how we're going to end the show.
Sad but true.
That's sad but true. Thanks for being on the show, Danny.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
I don't know when the last time was, but hopefully you're on again and pretty soon.
That would be nice. That'd be cool.
So, everyone, this show is brought to you by StrayProductions.com. You can also check out my new work at JoeCarabeo.com, GoAstray.tumblr.com, 1-shots.com. What else do I have? Also, don't forget to check out brasforgood.org. You can see Astray Productions' new charity team-up with Bras for Good, in which I've created the Support the Gals campaign, and go check it out. I think you'll know what I'm talking about when you see it. And also, Carolyn has a webcomic that comes out, not a webcomic, but a comic strip that comes out every Monday and Thursday, but also every single night. Go to curls-cu.com/sketchbeforesleep, and you can check out what's going on in Carolyn's brain and what she's drawing before she goes to bed. You might be surprised, too. Something very awesome. What do you have, Danny? You still got the same website?
Still do.
Is it Fighting Sticks?
Yeah,
is it?
Well, that's the weird thing. It's like the acronym of the website and then what I actually call it are two completely different things.
What?
If only I had a cool name like Monster.com or Amazon or something. I just have a word, .net or something. But no, it's TOTFC. The acronym stands for Top of the Food Chain. .net.
Nice. Well, it's good having you, man.
Always a pleasure. I enjoy your guys' company and love catching up with you.
Well, we're
gonna radio or not.
It's always good to just capture this hour, this time. And we're gonna continue this conversation without you guys at home, because sometimes we don't have to share everything. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Oh, and this is I'm Danny.
And Danny. Catch
don't,
y'all.
Don't forget about background checks.
That's right. What?
No.
No. Cesaro!